The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're joined now by our Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. Thank you very much for joining us. As a result of last night's British election win by Boris Johnson, is it now effectively a done deal that Brexit will be completed by the 31st of January, do you think?
Yes, I think so. I think the upside of this result from our perspective is that we now have a Prime Minister who we know can get things done in his Parliament, and we haven't had that for quite some time. And so the deal that Boris Johnson signed up to a few weeks ago with the European Union, which obviously we were very involved in, is now the deal that I think will be ratified through the Westminster Parliament.
Are you confident he's going to stick to that he won't try and change it again?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for a number of reasons. First of all, he's asked all of his candidates to sign up to supporting that particular deal, which they did before standing in this election. But secondly, there's absolutely zero appetite amongst EU leaders to go back to the negotiating table on the withdrawal agreement. It just won't happen. So, you know, the deal is there. We think it's a fair deal. It's a good deal from an Irish perspective on the core issues of ensuring we don't have border infrastructure, protecting British and Irish people in the context of travelling and working in each other's countries. It protects the Good Friday Agreement and its structures and a whole range of other things that I think people are familiar with now after 3 years of discussing them. So this is a deal that we can live with, and I think what we have now is an awful lot more certainty on the first part of the Brexit negotiation.
That's what I was coming to, because there now has to be a transition period. How long do you expect that transition period to go on for? Because initially I think we'd all thought it would be about 2 years.
Yeah, so part of the withdrawal agreement, which essentially is like the divorce arrangement, is that there is a legal framework which facilitates what's called a transition period, which means effectively nothing changes in terms of the trading environment or regulatory environment between the UK and the EU. In other words, they leave the European Union, but they continue to behave as if they're in it from a trading point of view. And that will last until the end of next year, unless Boris Johnson as Prime Minister decides to seek an extension of that, which he can do for an extra 1 year or an extra 2 years, but he has to seek that extension before the 1st of July. That's what's in the withdrawal agreement.
So more deadlines,
yeah. And of course what Boris Johnson has said during this campaign, which, you know, I think he may regret saying, but what he's said is that he's not going to seek a further extension. He wants to get everything done in the 10 or 11 months that's available to do it. But when you look at the challenge of what the EU and the UK together have to agree, and I think we can get to agreement, but I think it's going to take time, it's not just a free trade agreement that we need to negotiate. It's also a new arrangement around fishing, security, data, defence, aviation. You know, it's a long list of bilateral arrangements between the EU and the UK, and of course a comprehensive free trade agreement which hopefully can deliver tariff-free and quota-free trade between the EU and the UK, which is essential from an Irish perspective.
But then what happens if that deadline of December 2020 isn't met and he hasn't asked for the extension by the 1st of July deadline?
Well, I mean, I think there's a good chance that might happen, and I think what will happen then is what has happened in the past with Brexit, that people realise coming towards the end of a negotiating period that there's a need for more time, and they have to find a way of providing for that, which is what's been happening, of course, as we've been trying to get a withdrawal agreement ratified. The British Parliament hasn't ratified, and so the British government has looked for more and more time. And, you know, that could happen again. Now, you know, Boris Johnson has said that he's not going to do that.
He is a man who changes his mind, isn't he?
I mean, maybe it's possible that this negotiation can be concluded in 11 months, but I think precedent would suggest that is a very, very tall order. The free trade agreement between the EU and Canada, which I had some involvement in when I was Minister for Agriculture, took 7 years to negotiate, and then quite a considerable amount of time to actually ratify and implement. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy task. I think the next round of Brexit negotiations after the UK leaves will be difficult and fractious. But I do think, I certainly hope, that with goodwill we can get a good deal done for everybody. And from an Irish perspective, what we're looking for is the closest possible relationship between the UK and the EU. That's good for political relations. It's certainly good for trade and economics. And certainly that's what Ireland will be advocating for. I mean, we have a 70 billion euro trade relationship with the UK every year. We have last year 92,000 Irish companies either traded with Britain or through Britain. So it's a big, big part of our economy, and we want to have a trading environment that doesn't involve any tariffs and certainly doesn't involve any quotas.
Okay.
I think that's doable, but I think it is somewhat unrealistic to expect that it can be done in 11 months.
A slight switch attack in here, because what about the status of Northern Ireland now? Northern Ireland and Scotland are both regions which are strongly against Brexit, and their wishes are going to be overawed by the British government. And they're not going to be respected in relation to it. We now have a majority of MPs in Northern Ireland who are in favour of staying in the EU. You also have this border down the Irish Sea. So what are the potential consequences of that? Because a lot of people are talking about now the issue of a possible United Ireland. What form of United Ireland could we end up with?
Well, look, I think it's important that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves here. I mean, we still have significant challenges to overcome. So the withdrawal agreement is not ratified yet. It needs to be ratified by the British Parliament. It looks now like that's going to happen. It also has to be ratified by the European Parliament, which also looks like it'll happen in late January.
Minister, there were British political commentators last night talking about the potential for some sort of federal United Ireland. They're looking forward and they're seeing a shift in the political dynamics of Britain, an enormous shift, whereby effectively you've had English people electing Boris Johnson to be the Prime Minister without the support of Scotland and Northern Ireland, two regions which want to remain in the EU.
Do we not start having
a discussion about the potential for what might happen in this island as a result of that?
But I think, Matt, we have to try and deal with, you know, each challenge that we face at a time. If we try to do too much at the same time in a polarised environment, particularly in the complex political environment of Northern Ireland, you know, I think we're going to fail and we're going to cause more division and tension and worry and fear. What we need to do now is we need to conclude this round of the Brexit negotiation in a way that protects Ireland north and south. And I think the withdrawal agreement does that to the best extent that it can in the circumstances we find ourselves. And we also need to get, you know, the core thing we tried to do in this withdrawal agreement was to protect the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement. The institutions of the Good Friday Agreement have not been functioning for 3 years. There's no executive, there's no assembly functioning, there's no North-South Ministerial Council. There are lots and lots of political decisions that have been stacking up that couldn't be made because we don't have functioning devolved government. And we have a big job of work to do over the next few weeks to change that and to get Stormont back functioning again, to get unionist and nationalist parties and, of course, the Alliance and others as well, working together again, getting issues resolved in Northern Ireland. And that is my big focus for the next few weeks. Of course, there needs to be a conversation around the future of this island and, of course, a conversation that includes the future relationship between Britain and Ireland because the circumstances have changed as a result of Brexit. But I think we would be very foolish not to focus on the immediate challenges that we have now. The absence of devolved government in Northern Ireland for 3 years has put huge pressures on communities and the lack of and political systems in Northern Ireland. We have a window now between now and the 13th of January to try to correct that. After the 13th of January, the legislation that effectively gives civil servants in Northern Ireland extra powers to allow Northern Ireland to simply function runs out. And so if there isn't agreement on the basis for re-establishing government in Northern Ireland again by the 13th of January, then there's likely to be assembly elections in Northern Ireland, another round of elections that I think would be very, very difficult for all the parties concerned. So,
okay.
So you know, my focus is to try to deal with these huge problems in sequence.
Okay,
we will come back to you. Devolved government needs to be returned, and we need to then try to have a mature conversation around what the future what future relationships on this island look like.
Well, I look forward to facilitating many such conversations in the new year as to the future of this island in the different political circumstances we find ourselves in. Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.